to us that one of the things that kept Bernie S., for example, locked up with $100,000 bail are the books that he had in his on his shelf, and
that's really scary.
Yeah,
oh, they took his 2600s too. They always take the 2600s because they, I don't know if they want to add to their libraries or what, but that's always something that piques their interest. But you're not going to get in trouble by subscribing to us or by having your name in our database, because that's not something that is not revealed, and we will never reveal that information to anybody. It's just something, you know, we mail it out to you, and that's how it goes to the post office. Unless you believe the post office is gathering names, I guess that's really the only possible way that it could happen. But no one has ever gotten access to us in that way. But yeah, as you said before, getting it through the mail is preferable to getting it in the bookstores for several reasons. Most important being that you get it much sooner. You get it much quicker. It's more accurate. You don't have to fight with all the other people trying to get it. I mean, it's great to have it out there in bookstores, but we have it out there. We have it at a cheaper price at the bookstores so that people can see it for the first time. But I think anyone that's ever tried to get it on a regular basis, I've tried to get it on a regular basis to see who has it, and it's frustrating because it's either hidden or it's, you know, I ask them, when's it coming out? I'm the editor, and I'm asking them when it's coming out. And they're telling me this stuff that's totally wrong. They're saying, yeah, it's supposed to come out next week. And meanwhile, I haven't even sent it to the printers yet, so I don't know how they know this, but they're telling me things that are not true at all. This way, you know, you'll get it directly from us, and if there are any problems, you know, you don't have to worry about the bookstore. You just worry about, you know, dealing with us directly. So, I don't think you have to worry as far as that goes.
That does sound pretty good. It's good to know that I can get that, you know, that subscription, which I'm sure is hard to get for a lot of people, and I'm going to get that T-shirt, which I'm looking forward to. And furthermore, I'm supporting this show, which makes me feel good because, you know, I've come to the show quite a bit and listened to you guys performing it on live and so forth. And, you know, I'd like to continue seeing that happen.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, we're moving. We're moving not next week, but the week after that, we're moving to Tuesdays at 8 p.m.
Right, yeah.
So hopefully that's a better time slot. I don't know yet.
Are you going to reach a larger audience?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, I don't know the first thing about radio demographics, and I hope they're not thinking too much in those terms, because that's not really what we're all about here. But as long as the people listening now are able to listen Tuesday at 8 p.m., I don't really see why they wouldn't be able to, and that should be good. I mean, I don't see that as necessarily a bad thing.
Well, that sounds great. So sign me up with that. And
okay, well, what you should do is, now, this is not what other listeners should do. You should get up and walk down the hallway to the tally room, where a tally person will take your information from you. But all the rest of you, unless you're nearby, the best way to get through to us is to call us at 212-279-3400 and make your pledge. And maybe you could say it better than me as to why that's important, why they should call right now.
Well, for me, it's I can just walk right down the hall, and I'm going to do that and get my make my pledge for $75.
Okay, you got one call with that so far, so keep going.
Yeah, and I encourage any other people out there who have gained some knowledge or insight into what we're talking about here to pick up the phone, take out their credit card, give us a call, and make a pledge. And you're not going to get on any, it doesn't sound like you're going to get traced by the FBI for getting your subscription.
Well, you know,
get a really cool
my way of looking at it, okay, is that, and not everybody shares this, obviously, but we're reaching a period where, you know, the whole Edwin Meese philosophy of, well, you know, if you got nothing to hide, you got nothing to worry about. But we're getting put on lists all the time now. And if I'm on an FBI list or a Secret Service list or whatever kind of a list, I think the best thing to do is to get as many people on that list as possible. Not to run away from it, not to be afraid of it, but rather to challenge it. So if the FBI is going around gathering names because people are doing something that they have every right to do, you don't stop doing it. You don't start hiding. You start saying, yeah, so what? You know, and getting all your friends to do it too. I'm not saying that, you know, we should advertise who subscribes to us or anything like that. But I'm just saying it's not necessarily something that you should be afraid of, because you're in the right.
Right, and absolutely. What you're doing is disseminating information. It's in a text-based format or in a vocal format.
Right.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Information should be free, and it should be available to the masses. And you, some of the information that you put out there is, some people may find a little radical and so forth, but I think that information in and of itself only engenders knowledge and should be free, and the means for distributing it should be unstopped as well. And I really appreciate what this show stands for, and, you know, letting people know what's going on out there. by means of getting the information out to people. And that we should always have access to information. It's if you find something on how to build a bomb, that doesn't mean that you should go out and build it and blow people up or anything. But having that information in and of itself is really harmless. It's using it mm-hmm. and doing bad things with it that should be avoided. But people mm-hmm. should have the ability to gather any kind of information that they want without.
Right. The information is out there. I was at this recent security conference in Washington, D.C., and I kept hearing, the same thing, that we're saying information wants to be free, and they kept saying, well, my information doesn't want to be free. And, the hacker response to that is, well, stop, tell your information that, and stop leaking it all over the place and having it publicly available on the net. If you really want to protect something like we protect our mailing list, encrypt it, store it on an isolated machine, use your brains as far as that particular thing goes. But as far as general disclosure, I think we're in a period now where there's more accountability for what companies are doing, and if you have the means of finding out something, you should share it. You should share it with other people, and I think that's what hackers do for the most part. We find out things, we let people know about it, and that's of course why we always get into trouble, because we tell people what we find out. We're not very good criminals. We don't hide it for ourselves and use it for only certain elite people. So that's kind of how the whole thing comes about in the first place. But, I think one thing that this radio station, this radio program has shown us is that people who don't consider themselves hackers are very interested in what it is that we're talking about. And you don't have to be a hacker to appreciate it in the first place. Some of the information we're able to find out as far as how the phone companies work, what they're up to, what they do, how they deceive people, and the same goes for other companies as well, or the bits of technology, how to use something to your advantage, or how something works, even though they don't want you to know how it works. We all have curiosity in us somewhere, and I think we all are fighting, and rooting for the little guy against the big system. I mean, why else do we always stand up for the individual fighting against, the Kafka-ish societies or, the prisoner-type scenarios or things like that? Because we feel an identity with that. We want the individual to win in the end. And I think nothing encompasses that more than hackers, what hackers are fighting right now.
Right. And furthermore, the information that is disseminated on programs like this is the first to be repressed, and that will set mm-hmm. precedence for other types of information. And if it gets repressed here, then there's really no stopping it. Once the governments and companies are able to control information on this level, which is once they stop information on this level, then who knows to what extent they'll continue repressing information.
Right.
So it's important to keep putting the word out and. Good luck with your magazine. I'm going to walk down the hall here.
Okay,
you
walk down the hall, because I think the Tally people are waiting for you right now. Okay, so thank you, Blake, for that generous donation. And again, if you're out there and you're thinking about calling us up, please do, because imagine where we'd be if we didn't have this voice now. We wouldn't know anything about the Bernie S. case. We wouldn't even know anything about the fiber optic case last year. And we wouldn't be able to keep updated on all the other things going on the Internet in the electronic society in general. There's a lot going on, a lot happening, and we provide a unique voice for that. 212-279-3400, please give us a call. We've got operators standing by, and we'll be back right after this.
Court.
That's music from Screaming Target, which encompassed one, actually several members of Big Ugly Dynamite, who wound up in this band that no one heard of in this country because they didn't get a record contract here. But we got the CD anyway, and that was a song about making movies and things called Blood and Stars. And you're listening to a special expanded edition of Off the Hook here on radio station WBAI, where we're still asking for support at 212-279-3400. And, you know, just to give you an optimistic outlook, we're doing pretty good. We're moving forward into the 90s at WBAI. We're not falling apart. We're making better radio programs. It's working. It's succeeding. But the only reason it is succeeding is because people like you call us up and help support the station. So don't think that you're throwing money into a losing cause. You're throwing it into something that's working, something that there's a definite need for. The politics have changed in this country over the past several years to an extent where something like this is essential just for intellectual survival, I guess. 212-279-3400. And we have a special offer now. Roman Kazan of Escape.com has stopped by, and he has a special offer for us. First of all, tell us, what is Escape? That's the internet provider.
Escape.
Oh, wait, your mic's not on.
Hey, wait.
There you go. Okay.
There we go. Escape is an internet access provider that provides complete internet access in New York City.
That's right. And complete internet access these days is like, it's basically, what? PPP, slip, dial-up, shell. What do those terms mean? What's considered complete these days?
Being connected directly to the internet with a protocol called TCP/IP,
uh-huh.
and using any application that's out there, for instance, the famous Netscape, See You, See Me for video conferencing and so forth.
Now, that's really neat. See You, See Me, where you actually see somebody in another part of the world, and you can talk to them, and all you're doing is making a local phone call.
There's even voice conversations you could have over the internet with a standard modem.
I saw that. Actually, I saw that on CBS News, like at 3:30 in the morning. They were doing a See You, See Me conference. It looked really funny. They had five people there, and they were moving kind of slowly, and sometimes they wouldn't move at all. And then this one guy got frozen, you know, freeze frame with his mouth open, and then he stayed on there for about 30 seconds, and he just disappeared altogether. So it still has some growing pains. But I think this is the part you want to be involved in when it's having these growing pains, when you're helping to develop it. So now you're offering, for I believe $150, you're offering internet access, full internet access.
Complete internet access. You even get access to put up your own web page.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's cool. So everybody has web pages these days. That's kind of where you advertise whatever you want to say.
You put up your interest. You want to, you know, basically provide information to other people that you're interested in.
Uh-huh.
And it's...
Okay, so now we only have a limited number of these, too, so I think there's only five total, which isn't very many for the whole city of New York. 212-279-3400, you'll get full access for 6 months, unlimited, for $150.
We'll send you the software if you have a Macintosh. We'll send you the software if you have a PC.
Uh-huh.
We'll help you over the phone to configure it, or if you have any problems, we won't get off the phone until you have it working.
Okay, that's great. Usually it's the other way around. Usually the customer doesn't get off the phone until, but you guys... We'll make sure that that things are working.
If you're in the city, we might even come by if you have a problem.
That's amazing. I heard about that. That's not a rumor. You guys actually sometimes make house calls.
Sometimes we do, yes.
When they're really in trouble. Is bad enough. How bad does somebody have to be to get a house call? Work at all?
It's unbelievable. Sometimes we sign up quite a few people a day.
Uh-huh.
And once in a while, we get someone who's just totally in trouble. The reason is
you can say computer illiterate. They don't know what they're
exactly
doing.
That's exactly right. And we'll come there and show them how.
Well,
to
that's
use
good
it.
That you don't berate them. You actually try and help them out, and you probably are helping someone who no one else would help to get on the net to get started in the first place. So that's really a good thing to be able to do. Let's look at some other services, not to put them down too much, but just enough so that people know what we're getting into here. We've got America Online. Now, a lot of people say, I just want to get an America Online account. Now, why shouldn't they do that?
Well, it's a good system if you're computer not literate.
Computer illiterate, yes. Not literate. Or...
Well, that's incorrect. But
right. 212-279-3400, take advantage of this offer. But
you're not able to use any software you know that's available for the internet. Basically, it's not a standard.
Yeah, you know, I was at a friend's house in California, and he had AOL, and I figured I'd be able to check my mail in 2600 or Escape or wherever I was.
They don't have Telnet.
You can't Telnet. They don't have Telnet. I thought they said they were on the internet.
Well, they are, but they don't give you full access to it.
No, they certainly don't. And they don't give you full access to the English language either, because if you can't use certain words, or they get very angry at you and they cut you off.
I can't really use them here either, can I?
No, you can't use them on the radio, because that's an FCC thing, but we won't get into that. But, yeah, okay.
Not your radio.
Basically, America Online I think one of the moderators said, if you don't hear it on Saturday morning cartoons, then don't use it here.
Wow.
That's how they ridiculous. How they guide your freedom of speech.
Yeah, at Escape, we don't censor anyone, period.
Right. And you have access to everything? All
everything
there?
And everything on the Internet. There's
that's,
no buzzer.
That's great. That's really great. I remember, it was how long have you been around for? About a year and a half?
Almost 2 years now.
Almost 2 years. I remember when you first got started, and it's really grown quite a bit since then.
Right. We're about to open up a Long Island numbers in about a few weeks.
Uh-huh.
And if you're located in Long Island listening to the show, this you'll have local dial-ups available.
This is Nassau County?
Nassau County.
Okay, great. 212-279-3400. Take advantage of this offer because it really is a really good offer. I don't think you're going to be able to beat this. 6 months, unlimited access. You can call up tomorrow after making your pledge or whenever it is it gets processed and stay online 24 hours a day for 6 months, right? I mean, theoretically, you could do
technically
that.
Technically, you can, but be kind. No, just kidding.
You'll fill some bandwidth, but there's no limit. We don't keep track of how people...
I don't know how much anyone uses.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to know.
That's good. You don't want to know how much they use. You don't want to know
what they're doing,
what
where they're
saying,
going, what are they
who they're
doing.
Talking
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
That's. I mean, I wish everyone had that view. You know, I wish there wasn't this big brother over your shoulder type of mentality that a lot of people seem to feel the need to have when they're running a system. You know, how about other systems? CompuServe, Prodigy,
I mean, they may connect to other systems on the internet, and uh-huh. you don't know what they're doing over there. Then it's out of my control.
Right.
But as far as they're using Escape, as far as we know, if we're not hacked,
right.
No one can see what you're doing. But
yeah, the only thing you'd be concerned of is if your users are being hacked themselves, or if their privacy is being invaded, which is always a possibility no matter what system you're on.
Yeah, when you're on the internet, you should consider that you're like on a cellular phone.
Uh-huh. Not quite that bad, is it?
Well, not quite that bad, but close to it, I would say. You shouldn't be throwing your credit cards everywhere.
No, definitely do not do that. But tell us about the other systems, like CompuServe, Delphi. Are they any better than AOL?
Delphi is text-based. I don't know. I just heard they released a graphical interface.
Uh-huh.
But then again, they also charge an hourly rate.
I don't understand how they can charge hourly rates. I mean, we've reached a stage where virtually all systems have a set fee. You know, I think that really makes a difference.
Right. It's flat over here, and what you can use as much as you like.
Okay. Well, I think
chat.
All the lines are lit up, so there's a fair chance we'll find out if there's any of these left.
Okay.
So, thanks very much for offering this to us and for supporting the radio station. If people want to contact your system directly, how would they do so?
They could reach Escape at area code 212, telephone number 888-8780. Between 10 and 6 p.m. Monday through Friday.
That's voice, right?
That's voice.
And how about
this one?
212-888-8212,
and you can log in as guest.
That's a great phone number. It reads the same forward as backwards.
That's right.
What do they call those things? Polygram.
For me, it was a lucky number. I didn't ask for it.
A palindrome, yeah. I knew that. Just couldn't think of the word. Okay, great. Well, good luck with Escape, and I'm sure we'll be in touch in the future. Okay, it's 10 minutes to 11 o'clock. Please keep those calls coming in, 212-279-3400. Well, I believe all lines are tied up right now, so if you get a busy signal, keep trying. It's good if you get a busy signal. Well, it's usually good. Either our phone lines are broken or it means a lot of people are calling and pledging. No other place where you hear information like this, where you get technical expertise like you do here. And Blake, you're back. How did the pledging go? Were they nice to you?
They were very nice. They're going to send me a bill. I couldn't actually pay for it up front, but I will be receiving a bill in 5 days or so.
Okay.
And, but as of this moment, I'm on the
subscription
list.
They took your credit card, didn't they?
Actually, they they're going to send me a bill.
Uh-huh.
So they didn't take any billing information. I was ready to just sign them a check right there.
Oh, you want to do a check. Yeah, if you do the check thing, they'll send you a bill. That's how that works.
Actually, no. I said, They wanted to. I couldn't pay for a check right now, nor could I get my T-shirt right now, which
right.
I was a little disappointed.
Well, they're not here yet.
Right.
They're coming.
They're,
we'll have them in about a week or so.
So, but I look forward to seeing that in however long it takes to get me a T-shirt.
Okay.
And it does feel good knowing that my donation will continue.
Oh yeah, it'll
with this show.
It'll I'll shake your hand after the show personally. In fact,
absolutely.
Sure, that'll make you feel good. And also. The process was not painful. Nobody yelled at you. They were polite. They were nice.
They were very happy to have a live donor.
Uh-huh. And they'll be very happy to have people over the phone, too. So if you call up, you'll talk to one of these nice people who are I guess basically they're listeners, right? They're listeners that volunteer their time.
Right. It made me feel good, and, you know, it's because I like this show, I listen to it, and I think everybody who listens to this show should lend a helping hand just to ensure that we will continue hearing this programming here.
Okay. All right. Well, coming up on the hour, we'll be talking a little bit more about the film Hackers, and perhaps taking some phone calls as well. But please keep the phone calls coming in up until 11 so that we can start off on a very good note. We want to break 2,000 by then. We're up to 1,855 right now. So if we're able to top the 2,000 mark by 11, we'll take some phone calls and get some feedback on the Hackers film. 212-279-3400 again. The two standing offers are... For $75, you can get a 2600 T-shirt with Michelangelo Virus and a full-year subscription to the Hacker Quarterly 2600. For $150, you can get a copy, both of those things, the T-shirt and the subscription, as well as a copy of the videotape, which we played excerpts of before. That was a videotape that featured the writer of the film Hackers, the director and the producer of the film Hackers, as well as Wynn Schwartau, author of Terminal Compromise and Information Warfare, and writers from Harper's and The Village Voice. All of that in a 90-minute video, which was taped last year, I think provides some really interesting historical perspective. That's for a pledge of $150. You get that video, the subscription, and the T-shirt. 212-279-3400. Again, remember, the most important thing is that you're supporting the show, you're supporting the station, you're keeping us going, and... I don't think anything really matters as much as that. You know, even if you just pledge $25, that's nothing to be ashamed of. That's great. That helps us. And we'll send you the program guide for the radio station so you can find all kinds of other programs that might be interesting to you, or so that you know what programs to avoid. You know, it's all up to you. 212-279-3400, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Special announcement, we still have two internet accounts left, so if we inadvertently said that we gave them all away, we have two left. For a pledge of $150, you can get 6 months unlimited access to the internet. That's for a pledge of $150, 212-279-3400. Thank you. We'll be back after 11 o'clock with some call-in segments for people interested in talking about the film Hackers. Our number for the call-in is 212-279-3407. Please continue to call and pledge support to the station, 212-279-3400, so that we can keep going with this extended version of Off the Hook with minimal begging, hopefully. It's up to you. Again, ask about our special $75 and $150 packages, but any pledge is welcome, and we have other things as well. 212-279-3400. Remember, there's no other radio station that will have this kind of show, that will have this kind of information, and that will give listeners the voice to air the kinds of things that they air here on WBAI. 212-279-3400. Please call now. Okay, now I don't know what's wrong here. This never happened before, and maybe the internet is saturated. Maybe people have no interest in it. But I mean, we gave away those first three like immediately, like right away. But there's two left still. And I figure when I said there were two 6 month internet access, unlimited you know, time and all that kind of thing, that they'd go immediately. But they didn't. Something weird's going on here. Now, you can't beat this deal. You just can't do it. 6 months, unlimited access, unlimited time. And, of course, you have to be in New York in the 212-718 area code to take advantage of the local dial-ups, except for Nassau County, which is coming in about a month or so. For $150, you get 6 months unlimited access to escape.com. So, I don't know, 212-279-3400. It's baffling. You know, it's like we're giving away free money almost, and people have to call and take advantage of this. It's the internet. It's full net access. It's not like AOL or CompuServe or Delphi or Genie or any of those places, because we don't charge by the minute. Actually, I'm saying we. When I say I'm not part of this, am I? I keep saying because I guess we're all a team as far as this goes when we pool our resources. And Roman coming in here and offering this, I don't know, I guess I feel like a team, so I have no connection myself. But anyway, they are offering this completely without restriction, without censorship, without any kind of mandate as to what you can and cannot say or what groups you can read or who you can mail to or things like that. So please take advantage of it. 212-279-3400. I think you'll find it to be well worthwhile. If you already have an account somewhere else, it might be a good idea to start looking at alternatives, because maybe you don't have the entire net at your disposal. You know, maybe you just have a fraction of it. Anyway, that's as far as that goes. Also, for a different $150 pledge, you can get the hacker package, is what we're calling it, and that seems to be pretty popular tonight. And we're offering, I guess, an unlimited number of those, where basically you'll get the hacker video, which is 90 minutes of people, various journalists, talking about hacking issues and how hackers can present themselves better and how they've portrayed them in the past. You'll see writers from The Village Voice, Harper's, as well as Wynn Schwartau, an author, and the writers of Hackers, writers, directors, and producers of Hackers, the film, which we're going to be talking about in just a minute or so at 212-279-3407. Did you see the film? Did you like the film? Et cetera, et cetera. And for a pledge of $75, you'll get the hacker video. Actually, no, you won't get the hacker video. You'll get the hacker T-shirt with the Michelangelo virus on it, as well as a subscription to the magazine. Actually, I'm in error, too. The $150 pledge... Oh, boy. I just can't keep track of all this. The $150 pledge gets you the video, the subscription, and the T-shirt as well. Just call, okay? Just call the number and ask them. They know it better than me. 212-279-3400. I could never be on Home Shopping Network. I know that right now. But then again, I don't want to be. 212-279-3400. Let's get those phone lines lit. And the news tonight is not on, obviously, as we're doing an extended show. We're doing an extended show because this is a special time where we're asking for listener support. 212-279-3400. Also, Off the Hook will be moving, not next week. Next week will be our last show from 10 to 11 on Wednesday. We'll be moving to Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. That's starting October 3rd. So that's a pretty important bit of news. We'll also update people on the Bernie S. situation in about 20 minutes or so. So if you have people that you want to hear the update, let them know now. That way we don't have to keep repeating it throughout the night. So I have an update on that situation. 212-279-3407 is the number if you want to call in now and air your opinion as far as the film Hackers. I don't know. I thought it was okay. You know, I know a lot of people on the internet are giving it a thumbs down. But I think it wasn't as bad as a lot of people seem to say it was. But, you know, I'd like to have people air their opinion of it first, and then I'll give you my opinion, okay? 212-279-3407. Did you see the film? Did you like the film? Etc. Good evening, you're on. Good evening, you're on.
Yes. Hey, Emmanuel, it's Joker. What's going on?
Hey, Joker, what's up?
Nada, just hanging out. Had a late rehearsal. I heard you were going to be talking about Hackers, so I thought I'd give you guys a call.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, the first thing you said, a lot of people on the net were trashing it. Yeah, and I've seen a lot of people trashing it. And it's, you know, it's mostly these so-called hackers on the net who are trashing it.
Uh-huh.
And I think everybody has to realize that it wasn't really made for us. It was made to entertain people, which most movies are. I mean, any movie about a subculture is going to have flaws in it to people in that subculture. So I think if people just take a step back and take it for what it is, a film, I think it's very entertaining. I think the actors did a good job in their roles. And I think it's about the most accurate thing we've seen, you know, so far from Hollywood.
Well, now, of course, accuracy is the big sticking point with a lot of people, but as far as I agree with you, the actors, I think, were really good as far as the lesser hackers, you know, the Joey and Lord Nikon and those other guys. Of course, the serial killer / Emmanuel Goldstein character was hilarious.
Frighteningly close.
Yeah, I guess so. These people really made me laugh, and I think they captured the spirit of what hackers are, kind of like a wacky, zany crowd of people.
Now you say I agree with that. Now you say the under characters and the lower characters. What did you think of the leads of the film?
Well, you know, the leads were okay, but to be honest, I think the lesser characters really stole the show.
Yeah, I think
they weren't as interesting to me. You know,
I think in a lot of cases in a lot of movies you have that, you have the character actors as opposed to, you know, the two leads who I think played more, you know, this hard edge than, you know, the fun of hacking or whatever.
Right.
I think they were both sitting there trying to be badasses of their own.
Yeah, exactly. They were just kind of sulking the whole time. But Fisher Stevens, I thought, was really good as the villain.
Stevens is always good in whatever he does.
He was very evil.
And just very calm and funny at times.
I think, you know, if this film is guilty of anything, it's guilty of trying to do too much in too short a period of time. There was a lot going on there.
Yeah, apparently, you may want to tell your listeners about, you know, some of the stuff that was cut out. If any of you have read the book, I read the book after I saw the movie, just because I wanted to see, you know, what the differences were. And there's a really, really cool scene that I think would have developed the relationship between Dade and the Plague a little bit more, is the scene where he changes the virus when it's on screen.
Right.
That you said they filmed, but they cut out of the movie.
Well, yeah, there was a scene where the Plague, the evil hacker guy.
The dark side hacker.
Actually, he's the establishment in the film, but we know him as Dark Side because he's cheating his company.
Right.
He comes to Dade, the protagonist, and shows him the virus that he wrote when he was 11 years old, and in front of him changes, I think, a greater than sign to a less than sign. And,
something like that.
And Dade is astonished. He says, oh, yeah, of course, it won't work because of that.
Right. But, there were some really enlightening parts. I think, just as in the net, Apple's got product placement, which is really funny because Apple, you know, Macintoshes get the big thumbs down from
Apple. But, you know, the thing is, Macintosh supplies all the films with computers, and that's why you see them everywhere.
It's called product placement. Coke has the same thing in this movie.
I know. It's unfortunate. But, you know, it's weird. Yeah, Coke has a lot of product placement, but so does Jolt.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah, but I think Jolt was written into the script, and so they had to go to them and say, hi, can we use it? And I'm sure Coke said, hi, we hear you doing this film. Here's $1 billion, and here's some Coke for everybody on the set. And
yeah. That's something that's inherent to the movie industry, but I think it kind of stinks that it works that way. I want to see a film where you see both a Coke and a Pepsi can in the same film.
Right.
You know, that's really what I'd like to see.
Right. But
then you know that it's not, it's not going to be biased one way or another.
Yeah, I think the one thing that does need to be mentioned, even for the people that haven't seen it, is the use of our favorite word in the film, and that's elite.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man, this was hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to go too much into detail for those who haven't seen it, but they blow this word way out of proportion. I mean, that was just funny. Some of the dialogue was a little over the top, I think. Just a little on the cheesy side.
Yeah.
But that's to us. I mean, people who are, you know, going to see the movie.
Well, you see, that's why I'm really curious about people who are not hackers. Like, if non-computer hackers out there could call us and tell us what they thought of the film, then, you know.
I'll tell you, it was really odd because I was sitting on the net the night after, you know, Friday night late / Saturday morning. On IRC, on Pound Hack, and I was sitting there talking to his friends, and all of a sudden the channel just got flooded with all these people that, you know, none of the people who had been there for a while had ever seen before.
They just discovered hackers, huh?
Hi, how are you guys doing? I just saw the film, and it was really great, and I wanted to know what was going on.
Well, you know, there's a channel now that has quite a lot of traffic going through it. It's Pound Hackers.
Yeah, I saw that one.
There people just see the film.
And there's Pound Hacking, too.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's... Part of it's good and part of it's bad. You know, we've kind of remained out of the light, I guess, a bit. And I think you more than anybody is probably going to feel a lot more media attention toward you know, what we're involved in.
Well, it got kind of crazy on Thursday when the USA Today piece came out. All of a sudden, I couldn't believe how many people read that paper. You know, I've never looked at it in my life.
Thank goodness that was more about you and what you're doing at the radio station rather than you and how you related to the film Hackers. It didn't seem to me to be a plug for the film.
Yeah,
it's more for you.
Yeah, it caught me by surprise actually, because I talk to reporters. I answer their questions, and sometimes it works out. Sometimes I never hear anything from them again. It's just kind of weird. You never know what to expect.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to get offline and hopefully let some non-hackers call and see what's going on.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
Say what's up to everybody in the studio, and
okay.
I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
It was Joker giving us his views on the film. 212-279-3407 for people who are who saw the film Hackers. And what is it? We have no calls? How is that possible? We always have calls. We lose all of our listeners? 212-279-3407. That's better. Something's wrong with the phones here. Yeah, we got a full switchboard now. Also, okay, if those of you are shy, you don't want to get on the air, please call up and pledge. 212-279-3400. We're up to 2780. It is my fond wish that we clear 3,000 tonight. Please help make that possible. 212-279-3400. And so I don't waste everyone's time by going through the premiums again. Just call up and ask about them, and the people there will be more than happy to tell you what's going on. Good evening. You're on.
Hi.
How you doing?
What?
How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Okay.
Good.
You see the film?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It sucked.
You didn't like it, huh? Okay. Why did you like it?
What?
Why didn't you like it?
Why didn't I like it?
Yeah.
I hated the really cheesy, I'm flying through the city and turned into a microchip scene.
Yes.
Where you could see the data on those glass screens.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was kind of weird. I'll give you that. And, you know, they overdid it with the city turning into the chips. I mean, yeah, you know, you got it the first time. It didn't have to keep being done over and over again.
Yeah.
What about the overall plot? What do you think of that?
The overall plot?
Yeah.
Oh, the script was much better.
Yeah. How did you see the net too?
Oh, I was listening to the radio. It's freaking me out.
Oh yeah, you're on 6 seconds.
5 minutes behind.
Yeah, you're on delay here.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I just see the net. As a matter of fact, I saw it twice.
Yeah, I guess you liked the net better, huh?
Yeah. Actually, I called for a different reason though.
Oh, okay.
I went to the Unix Expo today.
Okay.
And it was really frightening. There were all these security people, and the NCSA had this really huge like. We're trying to have this really huge demonstration. Everybody's handle, everybody's, like, certain keywords, words, everything. Like, and they log everything, and, like, when companies get... companies hire them to get this information, and they'll pay like, my roommate has it on. Ah! Can't hear. They have these like, they'll give you a hard copy or they'll give you email to the companies of what they found about your company that they heard mentioned.
I've been hearing rumors they also have access to private email.
That's what I heard too. It's what, I was told I had a nice long conversation with the guy. They had a break-in last night.
Uh-huh. Well, now, that's kind of disturbing. Now, you say that they're not letting certain people know about this.
They don't want anyone to know about it. They say it's something that even hackers don't know about.
Well, it sounds like we're starting to find out about it.
Yeah, that's why I called.
Yeah. Now, do you have any idea what this is called?
Yeah. Shoot. I have it here somewhere.
It's good that you're finding out these things, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it was really bizarre. I walked in and they knew exactly what I was there for.
Well, were you wearing a 2600 shirt or something?
No, I wasn't. I was really freaked out.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Where's it? Ah, I can't find
NCSA. There are some people in the room that know exactly what you're talking about, too, I should point out. So
somebody does know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so it appears to be true.
Your information become a pirate's booty.
Wow. You want to read that to us?
Today's environment dictates all corporations, indeed any organization, maintain the tightest security measures. Think about it. Your company has a multitude of networks, internet connections, PCs, information and telephone systems and records that are ripe for the picking. We'll assess some of the risks and suggest how to protect your valuable assets from hackers, crackers, and other bad guys.
Wow.
What was it called? Shoot, I can't remember the name of the program. But I happened to see it.
Okay.
It was based on Windows.
Well, now, try and get this information to us when you do find it, because I assume you have access to the net, right?
Yeah, except I was going to get the information, except that all my accounts are dead tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
For some reason, every single account that I had, I couldn't dial into.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an ominous turn, isn't it?
Yeah, very ominous.
Wow. Well, assuming that that you survive, when your net accounts come back up, just email something over to us at 2600.com.
I promise I'd email something over to them, too.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, they'll get your name that way.
Oh, they already have my name.
Oh, really?
That's what I told them my name was.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. And where are you calling from? Well, you don't have to tell us if you don't want to.
Queens.
Queens, okay.
I used to hang out there.
You used to hang out where?
At the show.
Oh, really?
At
our show. What's your name?
Kira.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know you.
I know.
All right.
You.
Well, please get us that information.
Okay. I guess I'll send it to 2600.
Yes. Yeah, send to Emmanuel at 2600.com.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Take care.
All right. 212-279-3407. Good evening. You're on.
Hello. Hello.
Yes. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel. This is Phony. And I got R.F. Burns here with me, and we're the guys who shot the video of you in SummerCon.
Oh, really? And whoa. Oh, this is something interesting. Now, you're just the guys I want to talk to.
Great.
Now, I assume you're aware of all the stuff that's been going on, right?
Right.
Now, the person that was gathering all this information turned out to be a federal informant. So that naturally put some suspicion on what that video was all about.
We went to SummerCon, and we contacted the interviewer guy, and he seemed to know everybody. So we wanted to do this documentary on the community, and he set up all the interviews, and, you know, that's about it. But we're not federal agents, and the video is kind of, you know, what's happening in the hacker community and summer of 95. It's not like intelligence gathering for the federal government.
Okay, well, first of all, you understand how something like that would be bad if it was done by the federal government, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so you understand the concern that we have.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, my question is, the guy that was the federal informant, I don't want to mention names here because, you know, a lot of stuff is still happening, but what kind of influence, what kind of control did he have over this whole project? What kind of access did he have?
None. We met him at SummerCon, and we basically, you know, were hanging out, and he said, you know, he was in the community for a while, and he set up some interviews, and that's about it. We were also at DEF CON shooting and at a couple other places, and he wasn't there, so it was pretty much.
And we met him at the show.
Right.
Well, that's interesting because the impression he gave was that he was the person organizing it. You're saying that's not true?
Definitely not. We met him there.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. Well, you mean impression he gave there, or what?
At SummerCon, that's the impression that I got, that a lot of other people got, was that he was the person in charge of the video.
No, definitely not.
Uh-huh.
Well, obviously, we all wanted the interview. We wanted to interview and find out what's going on in the community. So we hooked up with him, and he says, hey, look, I'll ask the questions, and you just guys roll tape. And so we said, great.
Wow. So what are your feelings after all this has happened, when you first heard the news?
Well, I saw it in the New York Times, and that's basically how I found out about it. And I was kind of like, wow, pretty shocked. And you know, I don't know that much more about it, except there was this big press conference and blah, blah, and big crackdown and that. So, you know, I don't really know, you know, all the logistics or anything like that.
And we just felt somebody purchasing this videotape would find it of interest. Obviously, it increased value to see the interview and hear this person interviewing you.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I think the best thing at this point would be for you guys to get the word out onto the net, because there's a lot of suspicion going on right now. There's a lot of, you know, people don't really know what the full story is.
Right.
And I think, you know, full disclosure at this point in time is probably the best policy. What are your plans for this video?
Well, I'm doing all the editing. I'm out here. I'm in California right now.
And I'm in New Jersey.
We shot some stuff at DEF CON, so it's going to be like one big compilation tape, and I'm just kind of... We also shot some stuff at Area 51, and I'm finally going through all the footage. I'm editing it together. It'll probably be done, I'm hoping, within the next 2 weeks or so. And I'll post a message to all 2,600 and something like that. It'll probably be in, like, probably take out an ad in Private Line and some other magazines saying, you know,
mm-hmm.
video, it's available.
Okay, but you're saying that the person that turned out to be the federal informant had no access to the videos himself?
Definitely not.
Nope.
Okay, well, I'm glad you called to clear that up. And
We met him at the conference. I mean, I was new to the conference. I actually was the first conference I ever attended, and we both own video production companies. I'm here in New Jersey, and the other fellow is in California, and we both own production companies, and we said, hey, this is a really neat idea. And actually, I met him in the lobby, down in the lobby, when he was checking in.
Now, you're aware that this informant also is from New Jersey, right?
Oh, very aware.
Yeah. Now, did he make any contact with you afterwards?
Well, I can't go into detail, but...
Why is that?
Well, it's really... I cannot go into detail because it's not my in other words, I can't divulge any more than I was told to divulge.
Told by who?
The fellow that was interviewing you.
What I'm saying is, all I'm asking is, did he contact you afterwards?
Yes, we've been in contact.
Okay, and when was the last time you talked to him?
Oh, at least a couple days ago.
After the...
After, he goes, well, so now, basically he said to us, so now you know why I was there and who I was representing. I said, well, that's, you know, obviously, I said, you know, that I hope you didn't go around telling people that we were involved in it. We were just simply videotaping. He goes, yes, I realized that. So he said, I don't want to get you any more involved than
uh-huh.
And what's going on. So, I mean, it's strange how we go to this conference, we're there to just collect some information, have some fun, put a cool tape together. We went to Area 51, shot some neat video there, and just we thought it would be a fun and interesting tape, and all of a sudden it turns out that this person we've met is working for the government.
Uh-huh. Now, do you think you were targeted by him? Was he?
Not. I mean, it was totally a fluke that we were even there. We weren't even gonna. I actually drove here from New Jersey to the convention, and I just happened to be down in the lobby, and everybody's messing with the elevators and screwing with the phones and having a fun time and enjoying themselves. And
I mean, he just seemed to. To be established in the community. I mean, you knew him before that interview, didn't you?
Well, I didn't know him, but I noticed him. Let's just put it that way.
Right. He saw us with the video gear, running around with the video gear, and he said, hey, I could get you some really cool interviews. I know the guy that's putting this whole convention together. I know some pretty heavyweights, pretty big people in this industry, and we were like, fantastic, what a great connection. So I'm all new, like I said before, to computers and things like that. Again, as I stated before, I own a video production company, and I put together instructional videotapes and how-to videotapes and information videotapes, and I figured this would be a new venture for the company to get into of interest, because there's a lot of awareness of computers.
Well, how did you hear of the conference?
Well, I heard of the conference through several people. First of all, I've received the magazine, and I started getting into it. I'm very heavy into electronics and radio communications, and I don't know if you remember me. I was the one that was going around with that radio that connects into cordless phones.
Yes, I do remember that.
So that was me. So obviously there was a lot of attention there when I had that, and people came over and said, "Wow, what is this thing? How does it work?" And how, you know, and it just attracted a lot of attention, and it was a big hit.
Well, that could get you into trouble, couldn't it?
So can a lot of other things get you into trouble.
Right, but I'm saying walking around with that and publicly displaying it. I mean, you know, if a Fed wanted to be a real jerk about it, he could get you into
Absolutely,
trouble.
Absolutely, yeah. There's nothing legal about it.
Mm-hmm. And was that at any time held over your head by this guy?
No. I mean, that's the last thing. It was actually of insignificance. From what I understand, it's cellular phone fraud they're going after, not somebody messing with a cordless 49 megahertz telephone.
Mm-hmm.
So the big ticket is from what I understand, they're going after these people with inventions that are stealing pairs and the MINs and whatever else they.
Well, I assume you heard what I said before about the person that was arrested for selling an ESN reader, one that he had already bought from a catalog. And that was the only charge against him.
No, I wasn't aware of that. I didn't tune in earlier, unfortunately. But
yeah. There are a lot of questions being raised about this, exactly what it was they were looking for and who it is that they got, things like that. But I think the best thing for you guys is to be as open as possible and to get your word out on the net as soon as possible, too.
Which we are, and that's why we called you. I mean, that's essentially why we called you. I mean, we couldn't believe it. We're like, it's unbelievable that this even took place. I'm like, well, this should increase the value of the videotape, and this should have an interest. People should now want to watch. And
well, I'm relieved that that there's going to be a videotape. I thought we wouldn't see it again, you know.
Oh, it's definitely going to be out. You know, just look for it. It's definitely going to be out, and it has a lot of information on there that I don't want to get into over the phone right now. But it would be definitely worth checking out and looking at.
Uh huh. Well, let's just hope the federal authorities don't feel the same way and they don't pressure you to not release this or to give them a preview or all the footage or something like that. Are you prepared for that?
Well, they don't know who we are, and we're not going to help them find us. So.
Okay, well, that's the right attitude.
the video is not intended for them. It's basically, you know, just showing cool stuff that was happening this summer. That there will be some stuff on, you know, on this whole incident.
Uh-huh. Are you on a cellular phone?
Yeah, he just dropped.
He's on a cellular phone, isn't he?
Yep, okay. That's exactly what he was on.
Wow.
All right, well, I guess I'll let you wrap it up on your end, and I figured I'd just give you a call. And
okay, well, I appreciate that.
Get some stuff out there, and it was purely coincidence, and we couldn't believe it either. I just was taken totally by surprise, and I'm sure there's more information to come.
Oh yeah, I'm sure this saga will continue quite a ways, and there'll be all kinds of other surprises as well.
Well, thanks for taking our call, and if we get a chance, we'll give you a call back.
Okay, keep us updated. Thanks.
Thank you.
What a bizarre story. Maybe someday somebody will make a film about it.
What a bizarre country.
Anyway, Fiber Optic, you're here.
Yes.
Welcome.
I'm here.
Welcome. You've heard all this, right? The craziness about the film at SummerCon, the video at SummerCon that was allegedly being done by the person who was a federal informant here in New York. And some people were concerned about what that film was going to be used for.
No, I didn't hear very much about that at all.
Oh, well, it's happening. it's happening. Well, you heard about the raids, right? The Secret Service raids went on last week.
Well, which raids? I heard of a number of raids that
Well,
went
this
on.
Was not the AOL child pornography raids, which is a whole other kettle of fish.
Yeah.
But this was the supposedly cellular phones. And,
right.
And
I thought that was the FBI.
No, that was Secret Service.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so the person that turned out to be a federal informant was actually somebody that was helping with this video. And up until this call, we thought it was a person that was in charge.
Huh.
So it's a relief to know that that's not necessarily the case. So we'll just have to keep abreast of this story and see what's going on in the weeks ahead. Back to the film Hackers. You saw it. What did you think?
Sure, I saw it. I thought it was a really entertaining movie. I thought that it did a lot of justice to the attitudes and mannerisms of hackers. Of course, you can't consider it to be 100% realistic because nobody's going to go to a movie theater and read someone else's screen for an hour and 45 minutes.
No.
So obviously they had to spruce up the way computers looked in the movie.
And they sure
did. Oh, yeah, they really spruced it up. So it was highly graphical and visual, the actual hacking that was being done.
What did you think of the actual plot, the actual story?
Well, yeah, the actual plot was, it was a good story, I thought. I mean, the elements of the plot seemed to fit together. As far as the plausibility, I mean, you know as well as I do that various elements of the plot were based on information that and stories that we provided.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at least to some degree, you could say that the movie was loosely based on reality, at least in the elements of the plot, as far as that goes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there were quite a few little things in there that I think a lot of people might not have caught that were based on reality.
Yeah.
If anyone has any questions, if they think they know something, give us a call. We'll either verify it or we won't comment on it. 212-279-3407. I think overall, that's the number to make to get on the air, by the way. And if you want to make a pledge, 212-279-3400. I think overall the message of the film was really good because it sort of sent out the message that hackers are just into exploring, learning, maybe, you know, doing one better than the other person, and the federal authorities just do not get it.
Nope.
And I think that that was sent out. That message was definitely sent out. We'll see what kind of response it gets. Okay. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. I had a quick question about something that you mentioned on the show a couple of months ago, actually.
Well, we're trying to keep it to the film. We're trying to keep it to the film hackers. Make it very quick, okay?
Okay. I was just, sorry, I tried calling some numbers in the 710 area code and listening to the error messages,
mm-hmm.
and at the end I got a female voice giving the error message, and at the end a male voice suddenly cut in and said 2126T,
yeah.
Which piqued my curiosity, so I tried calling it from some different locations and got a different code at the end each time.
Uh-huh.
Fascinating, isn't it?
Well, Fiverr can explain exactly what those little numbers mean. So.
Unfortunately, it's nothing particularly very interesting. All it's telling you is a little bit of information about how the call was routed. Obviously, the first three digits refer to the area code.
Right.
For example, 2T, 6T, all different letters and numbers, basically is a simple coding system that AT&T uses to indicate exactly which 4ESS toll center the call was routed through.
Now, the T stands for what?
T usually stands for toll.
Okay, so it's always a T.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm trying to think.
I've never heard anything other than a T.
Trying to remember if there's anything else. No, that's correct.
With the local phone company anyway.
Yeah, I believe that that it is just a number plus T.
All right. Now, for future calls, please keep it to the subject. We're talking about the film Hackers. We know a lot of people saw it, so we have something we can all talk about. 212-279-3407. If you want to make a pledge, please call us, 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I want to talk about Hackers.
Oh, good. Okay. You know, that's that federal government again. They cut in and they won't let him finish. Wow. It's that big computer in Utah doing that.
Yes, it's Big Daddy.
Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Eric, hi, it's Pam. I don't have anything to say about hackers.
Oh?
I just wanted to say thank you for the well wishes, and before you go off the air, could you say something about what's happened with ROP since you last did?
What's happened with, you mean Access for All?
Yeah.
Well, we have Bill SF here. I guess he can probably answer that better than anybody.
Okay, cool. All right. I'll hang up and just let you guys go.
Okay. Bill, make it fast because we want to talk about Hackers, which a few people seem able to do.
Hackers is just a movie, but we are the hackers. And,
that's true.
You're asking about the Scientology situation, right?
That's right.
Hello?
She's gone.
She gone?
Yeah, she's gone.
Okay, so we'll just talk about what...
Where does it stand? Just tell us where it stands.
Where it stands, I talked to Niels, who is one of my housemates out there, and he said that that basically Scientology is, I can't say the word here in the States, it can in Holland, but Scientology has been totally made to look like dirt. Okay. The Dutch government is going to make moves and is moving rapidly to revoke them of their status of being a church,
mm-hmm.
and forcing them to pay all back taxes.
Wow.
Watch out, Scientology.
That is something. And I also,
you are about to be had.
I also heard that was it, the Fisher affidavit, that document they were after. That's all over the net
it's
now.
It's all
they,
over.
They can't stop
you're
it.
You're all over Scientology.
Wow. Okay, well,
you
I guess
not touch me.
That's what happens when you mess with hackers, particularly Dutch hackers. So, okay, thanks for the update. Let's see if anybody out there has seen the film wants to talk about the film. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a delay. Sorry.
It's okay.
I wanted to talk about the role of the woman.
Kate.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, there's a delay. I have to turn my radio.
Yeah, you got to turn your radio down or you'll be hopelessly confused.
All right, hold on. I didn't think I was going to get through. Sorry.
Ah.
Okay. Her name was Acid Burn, right?
Yes, Acid Burn.
I'm not a hacker, by the way. I just thought there was a strange contradiction in that she seemed to be really good technologically, like Crash Override, but
mm-hmm.
at the same time she was expected to be feminine, and that didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, where he says, like, you should wear a dress on our date, or at the end, it's like the old traditional.
Right, but those were his expectations, not hers.
Right, but
he was the one being traditional.
In the movie, it's not clear. Like she's acts differently. At one point in mm-hmm. the Grand Central Station scene, she's like telling the guys what to do, and then at the end, like she's acting feminine more.
Right.
I don't know. It just got contradictory. I don't know how better to spell it out, except it made him look more backward and less believable uh-huh. that he would have an image of women that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've seen that many, many times with male characters in real life, and their image of females just it degrades them so much. They have these traditional views, and, you know, females are not capable of certain things, and they have to behave in this particular manner. I mean, I don't think it was really brought out that much in the film, but I do agree with you, that was an indication of it there, is, you know, wearing a dress. Why is that so important?
Yeah, I mean, it was far more interesting when she was really, like, the guys doing, you know, what they, like, there shouldn't have been a double standard where they could be themselves, and there wasn't a dress code. I mean, mostly through the movie, she's in pants, and
right.
I thought that was good, but it was still more of a double standard toward her, and the fact that she was just one and there were four of them.
Right. Well, do you think that's a double standard of the film or a double standard of society?
Well, the film reflects that of the society, but maybe it was wrong of me to expect that in the hacker world, it would be different for women. Maybe that was wrong to
uh-huh.
think. I'm not sure. I'd like to hear from hacker women
yeah.
how it is. I can't speak for them. I'm just curious because it just makes the guys seem less believable if that's how they see women. See, like if they can see women that backwardly, it kind of perpetuates that view of the male scientist who
uh-huh.
can be great at the lab and then comes home and treats his wife or girlfriend or something like shit, you know, or sorry, like crap, but that's what I wanted to say
right.
about the movie.
Well, okay, now we're asking a lot of people this, actually, as far as the ending of the film, and a lot of people don't seem to like the ending because it seemed kind of cheesy. How would you do the ending differently?
Well, I would make her continue to be herself. There are different times in the film where she seems to be herself, like, again, not this double standard where she's expected to be more feminine and the guys can just be themselves. That's what I wanted to focus on. If she were more like she is in the beginning of the film...
Right, they accept her on her own terms.
It seems that way.
Right.
I mean, I didn't like the fact that her mom, like, wrote self-help books. For
yeah.
If she came off, like, well-off and a snob and all that, but I was more interested in real hacker women and how it really is. You know, I assume that a lot of it is very solitary, but I could be wrong about that. Nonetheless, I was just hoping that maybe the double standards weren't as bad or that progress had been made in those circles for women and there were less double standards.
Okay, well, thanks for the input.
Okay, right. Thanks for the show.
All right, take care. Interesting view, huh?
Well, I don't see any double standard going on.
No?
I mean, all throughout the movie, all the other hackers revered Kate.
Right.
They didn't want to tell Crash Override who she was. When he first asked, have you ever heard of Acid Burn?
Right.
They didn't tell him. They thought it was funny that he didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, they made a bet. They basically made a wager. It was a contest.
Right.
He was going to wear a dress, or she was.
You notice, though, it changed midway through the film. And I don't know if the significance of this was caught by most people, but the original bet was you have to, you become my slave.
Yeah, right.
She said, you become my slave if I win, and if Dade won,
right,
then she would have to go on a date with him.
Right.
Then they revised it later on so that he said, if I win, you have to wear a dress on our date.
Right.
She said, if I win, you have to wear a dress on our date. All of a sudden, she's agreeing that there's going to be a date. You know, whereas before, it wasn't an assumed thing that there was going
to
be a date.
I suppose, but I mean, that was at the point where they were tied, 60-60, and they needed to up the stakes.
Right. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of weird, but I see her point. I see her point to a degree.
Yeah, to a degree. I don't think it was really... I don't think they made the movie come off as being chauvinistic or anything like that. I mean... Would it have been any worse or better if the girl won and the guy lost and he had to wear the dress? Would we be pandering to some stereotypical thing that male hackers are homosexuals or something? I mean, I don't see any double standard going on.
Uh-huh. All right, let's go to another call. Good evening, you're on. Go ahead. Okay, this is how it works, folks. You got to talk when I answer the phone. When I say good evening, you're on, that means... You know, if you hear me say that through the phone, not through the radio, then that means go ahead. Good evening, you're on.
Yes, Manuel.
How you doing? Go ahead.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
About the movie Hackers.
Yes.
How did you feel about the way that Emmanuel Goldstein was portrayed in it?
Well, now, of course, there's the differing opinion as to how accurate that was. First of all, that character was not me. He was not supposed to be me. He simply used that name, and I thought it was kind of clever the way that turned out to be his real name. His name in the film, his hacker name was Serial Killer, spelled with a C, but his real name was Emmanuel Goldstein. To me, that implies that somehow he hacked the system to make his real name Emmanuel Goldstein, which I thought was kind of funny. I thought the character was probably one of the best characters of the film, because this guy was really, really funny.
Yeah, I found that interesting, too. I didn't know that was his real name.
Uh-huh.
Notice that he was not particularly the one into 9X.
No, who was the other guy?
That was Phantom Freak.
Phantom Freak, right. He was the king of 9X or whatever.
He was still in jail at the end of the movie.
Yeah, now, that's another thing. We figured this out. Because they cut the film in a weird way, they cut out the scene where he got out of prison. So if you look at the film the way it is now, he's still there.
Yeah, they never actually let him out.
No. I think that's opening up for a sequel, actually.
I enjoyed the movie myself. I thought it was... great the way they made it, and they really brought out the opinion about the way the feds look towards everything.
Yeah, you see, that's what we tried to do. Now, a couple of us were consultants for the film. I gave them input. It was really all I did. A lot of other people did much more work than I did. But I just tried to get the feeling across to them, to say, look, this is how it is. This is how hackers view this. This is how we are viewed by the authorities. And, you know, there's a lot I would have done differently. There's a lot I advise them not to do that they did anyway. But I think the most important part, which is the message managed to get out.
Yes, I think it did. The only aspect of the film I didn't like was the way that they stretched that word elite.
Yeah, that was awful. I agree with you there. That was all. When he said, I think you're elite in the swimming pool scene at the end, there was audible groans in the audience I was with. And I was with a bunch of hackers seeing it, and it was, This is awful. I mean,
the audience
was
particularly not towards that side.
Uh huh. Yes. You saw it with a non-technical audience.
Yes.
So how did they laugh at the right moments? What?
Not that many. Some did. Not that many had any idea what was going on to begin with.
So was it a confused audience walking out at the end?
Yeah, for the most part. A lot of humor in there that you have to pick up.
Like, yeah.
Stuff that normally wouldn't be picked up there.
Uh huh.
Didn't know about the subject.
How would you do the ending differently?
The ending was a little empty. I would probably,
Well, I guess you'd think about it a lot.
That's
a good. That's a good start, anyway.
Alrighty.
But all right, thanks for the input.
All right, have a good one.
You too. All right, it's about 11 minutes to 12 o'clock. The last 11 minutes of Off the Hook. We're up to $3,205, which is great. It's really, really good. And I said if we got up to $3,000, I'd stop begging, and I will. But I just want to remind people that if they still want to call, they can.
No,
I'm not begging anymore because I'm just telling people, I'm informing people that if they want the special packages that we still have a few of, they can call 212-279-3400, and it will make a big difference for the radio station and for the program. So those lines are open. Let's go back to the call in line, see if anyone's there. Good evening, you're on. Oh, I didn't hit the button. Good. Oh, I did hit the button. There's nobody there. Okay, try this one. Good evening, you're on.
Hello, I want to talk about hackers.
Yes, go ahead. Oh, you're going to hang up again, aren't you?
Huh?
Okay, you sound like the guy before that hung up.
I did hang up, my phone got messed up. But anyway, I just saw hackers on Friday, and I'm very upset with how they're over-commercializing the internet, and how you see like movies like The Net, and how that really didn't have anything to do with it, I don't think. It was totally, like, oblivious to what was really going on. They over-commercialized these things. And Hackers, I enjoyed. I'm, like, one of the only callers I think really enjoyed the movie.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a hacker myself, but I do use the internet. And I found it to be a movie that it's just there to be enjoyable. That's all. It informed people that not what's going on, but that there's something out there, a different medium to understand. That's all.
Well, I think that's what the people who made the film would like to hear, is that they found it enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, the plot and this lady calling in and saying, like, you know, the chauvinistic views of man, it has nothing to do with it. I mean, just in everyday society, just get off that tip. And, like, other things possibly, like, I mean, the plot was okay. I mean, I don't like how they're saying how hackers break into things and stuff like that, 'cause they don't. I mean, some people do, but... I mean, like the guy said, the thing was curiosity is out there. That's what it's about. And that was the basics of what hackers are about, the curiosity. And
uh-huh.
I don't know if you agree with that or not.
Absolutely. That's really, you know, the common denominator. What kind of crowd did you see it with?
I'm a photographer. I think everyone there was basically just dating the whatever. Nobody was hackers in the audience, I doubt it.
Uh-huh. And did they seem to like it?
No one really understood the jokes in the movie, and some people would just... There was, like, only 10 people in the movie theater when I saw it, actually.
10 people for a new film?
Yeah, it was in a village. I'm from the... And I didn't like how they portrayed New York City, how these kids... And they totally overdid that. Like, kids in high school, and how they dress, and how they look, and how there's this club for, like, cyberspace people. I didn't like that at all. I thought that was ridiculous, because I don't see anything like that in New York City, and I go to clubs, and I...
Fiber, he doesn't know about the club.
Oh. Wait till he finds out.
You're not elite.
I never said I was elite, but is there a club like that? Because I would like to go to it.
Well, we always go to clubs like that, but we don't let just anybody in.
Yeah, whatever. No, seriously, is there a club like that?
Well, we usually rollerblade over after the show. But,
it seemed like it was like East Village thing, and I know there's like places that like one-time things where you have computer graphics, special effects kind of thing, but not anything like that. That just seemed like it was totally like a...
Yeah, it was fantasy. A lot of it was fantasy.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, the fantasy part, was it at all believable?
Yeah, it was believable.
Uh-huh.
It was totally believable. I didn't like the villain in there. I think at the ending, how you guys asked people what they think about the ending.
Yeah.
I think the ending, he should have got away.
He did get away in the original. In the original scene, which they shot and which was in the script, he did get away. I don't know why they changed it. I think
it was stupid. The guy comes on him with a plane. Come on. Like,
yeah, now, you tell me, does the Secret Service take the plane all the way to where he was going and then take him all the way back? Or did they turn the plane around midway and take everybody back so that they can arrest this guy? Why don't they just arrest him when he gets on the plane, not when he's up in the air?
It had to make it dramatic so you can laugh. It was supposed to make a joke. And why would he have a computer on a plane anyway? What was he doing, like checking his like bank account or something?
Well, he's obsessed.
He's obsessed, yeah. That was kind of funny. I didn't like the fact he was rolling around on a skateboarder. They make these hackers seem like they're overgrown kids.
Uh-huh.
And that all they do is they use a computer to, like, the pill, you know, just to go destroy things like kids. You know how kids do things like they just do things out of spite, and that's what they made it seem like. He was an overgrown kid driving around on a skateboard, and he was just going around breaking things and stealing money from people on his computer. And I thought that was ridiculous.
Okay. Well, listen, thanks, thanks very much for the input.
All right, bye.
Take care. A lot of strong feelings out there, I think.
Yeah.
And I see the points in all of them, I think. Good evening. You're on.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead.
Hey, How you doing? This is Micah.
Micah, how are you?
All right. I got a question for you guys. As far as when you said that you guys had consulted for the movie, and I was wondering about that part where, what's his name, the King of Ninex, whatever his name was, when he was in jail.
That's Phantom Freak.
Phantom Freak, right. When he was in jail, and he had that one phone call that he could make, and so they let him over to the phone, and, you know, he goes over there, and guy, you know, I guess I can't remember if the cop dialed the number in for him or not.
Yeah, he did.
But then he locked the phone up, and he was able to just, you know, use the flash hook to dial wherever he wanted to go.
Right.
And I was wondering if you guys had anything to do with that, if they suggested they put that in there or something like that. I mean, I was thinking perhaps you, Fiber, with your in jail experience, if you ever had to do that to a phone in prison?
No, I didn't have to. I mean, when I was in jail, you could just make it was a normal payphone. You could just make a call on it.
Well, you could only call designated numbers, though.
Oh. Okay.
No, I'm not talking about in prison. I'm talking about in jail, where he was. In jail, there were normal payphones, and they were collect call only phones. They didn't have coin slots on them, but at least there were 9X phones.
Now, why didn't he just call the number to start with? Why did he have to flash it? What was the logic behind that?
He went to the operator, didn't he?
Yeah, he flashed the switch hook 10 times to get the operator.
Right, okay, but why... Now, the guy in the prison or jail was connecting him to something. What did he think
I don't
he was
know.
Connecting
they,
him to?
They never resolved that.
I guess every movie's going to have its little parts that, you know...
Yeah. What really annoyed me was when they did the Redbox thing, they used touch tones.
Yeah, they had to change.
They didn't use real Redbox tones. I'm wondering if 9X pressured them not to use real Redbox tones.
I think, you know, if you listen to Redbox tones, I mean, to someone who doesn't know what they are, they're not going to be very impressive.
Well, they will recognize those sounds because everyone's heard them.
Right, but on a movie screen, I mean, what do you think sounds better, the monotone red box or doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo?
But does it really matter? You know, I mean, they hear little beeps and, okay, they're not impressed. There's nothing lost.
Well, Raphael actually did want to use the real tones, and he said that the legal people at MGM made them take it out.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah.
I figured it was something like that.
Yeah.
That's too bad. But at least the film gives you everything you need to know to use a red box, and they show you how simple it is. Just hold a tape recorder up to the phone, drop a quarter in, record the sound of those beeps, and then play it. That's how it works. That's how easy it is. That's why Bernie S. is in prison for 6 months with no bail, because of stupid technology like that.
See, just one other thing. I wish the movie was more, if it showed more what hackers did on a day-to-day basis. I like how they went out and just explained the whole Redbox thing. I wish they did the same thing for, like, I don't know, trashing for credit card numbers, or if they did the same thing for how people will hand hack to get long distance access codes, you know, back when they were just six digits, or, you know, maybe if, you know, for those companies that still do have access codes that are just six digits. You know, I wish they did more of that type of thing, you know, but I mean, that might go more into the...
Yeah, I agree. I think they should have gotten into more of the actual technical hacking things.
So I think there's still a lot of room in there. I think now if they, like, after these movies get made, I think, you know, down the line, hopefully someone will do one that, you know, just gets in a little bit more, I don't know, I guess you could say cerebral or something, you know, not as flashy, but, you know, more on the technical side.
Uh-huh. And how would you have changed the ending?
And
you don't have to change the ending, by the way. Some people might like the ending.
The ending pretty much sucked. But, I mean, you guys had told me every time you saw it. I mean, how many times did you guys see it? 5 or 6 million times. And how the ending sucked and all that. But I think, I don't know. I would have liked to see the guy either get away or, I don't know, have him killed or something like that. You know?
That would be something. Sure, Fisher Stevens would appreciate that.
But, right. Since the way the movie was going, I don't know how it could have been changed, you know, very much to make it a spectacular ending. I mean, because it was, you know, I thought the main characters were pretty boring, you know. I thought the supporting characters were, you know, a lot better, gave more to the movie. But, of course, you know, I mean, they were just getting beat all around, put into jail, you know, doing all this.
Right.
You know, as far as, like, the main characters, it wasn't know, I don't see what you could have done to make it just like, boom, you know, this great ending at the end. So,
all right, Wilson, thanks for the input.
Okay, talk
all right.
to you later.
Take care. We're just about out of time here, so I want to thank everyone who called in, and we have about 2 minutes left, so if anyone still wants to call in and pledge, please do, 212-279-3400. We've made it to 3205. I want to thank everyone who pledged for making this successful. And again, 212-279-3400 is our number if you want to take advantage of anything that we might have left over. Stay tuned to WBAI New York. We'll be on again next week at 10 o'clock. And then the week after that, starting our new time, Tuesday nights at 8. We were going to update the Bernie S. situation. And, well, here's the update. Basically, Bernie S. had to plead guilty because pleading innocent and facing trial by jury just seemed too risky. And I understand perfectly why he had to do that. The advantage is that he may be out as early as tomorrow. Tomorrow is when he is sentenced. And the disadvantage is, of course, that this law still remains in effect unchallenged. And hopefully we can challenge that over the next few months. Stay tuned to Off the Hook over the weeks ahead. We'll update you as to how that goes. And now let's leave with the song that I think is becoming a tradition as far as radio marathons and things like that. Tells you how radio is operated in most places, but not here. We'll see you again next week. Again, thanks everybody who called in. Take care. This is Off the Hook. Good night.
Something to tell you. I think you should listen. Come closer.